Amen. When praying, don't give instructions, just report for duty. Let's see. Most people want to serve God, but only in an advisory position. Suffering from truth decay, brush up on your Bible. Amen. He who angers you controls you. So don't let. Give Satan an inch and he'll be a ruler. Be ye fishers of men. You catch them and he'll clean them. Amen. Oh, and I'm going to go ahead and go with this one. Read the Bible. It will scare the hell out of you. And on that note, I will finish that. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where does your faith stand? Does it stand in the wisdom and the eloquence of men? In the ways of man? In what this world has to offer? Or does your faith rest in the power of God? So the title of my message this morning is the wisdom of God or that should be the wisdom of man. I mistyped that. I guess that happens when you early in the morning. The wisdom of man or the power of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery and secret of God concerning what he has done through Christ for salvation of man in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified. And I was in weakness and fear and great trembling after I had come among you. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. A proof by the Spirit and power of God, operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men or human philosophy, but in the power of God. I could get up here today and I could choose the biggest words. I could change my voice to make me sound intellectual. But what good would that do you? Because if you put your faith in any human ability or in any human thing or in any man-made thing, you're going to fail. It's not going to produce any results. It's not going to change you. You know, we could gather here today and we could say, oh, what an intellectual stimulated sermon. I don't want an intellectual stimulating sermon. I want a sermon that demonstrates by the Spirit and the power of God. I want one that is God-breathed. I want one that God is saying, come on, bring it forth, man. Come on, you can do it. Let it rip. And we already saw some of the demonstration of God's power this morning. But he's not done by any means. So here was the great apostle Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, who studied thoroughly the law of God. And he said, I don't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, if you know Jesus Christ and him crucified, you are potent. If that's all you know, that's all you need. Jesus Christ, he's the answer to every question. He's the solution to every problem. And he has come to demonstrate his message with power. There is a force behind what this book says. It's not just words thrown together. It's not just my experience. But he wants you to have you put your faith in the power of God and not in men. Because when the pastor mispronunciates a word, that shouldn't throw you off. Man, I can't believe he didn't get that word right. Now my whole day's messed up. I had a professor one time that said he wouldn't listen to a preacher that didn't use proper English. There was another preacher. His name is Leroy Thompson. He's from Daro, Louisiana. And he talked like a Cajun. And he would leave off some syllables of words. And so one day, and I heard him share this testimony, he said he hired an English teacher. And he wanted to help use her to help him make his sermons better, make him enunciate better, make him choose better words. And he got up there and he fumbled and he said, I lost half my anointing. He said, I fired that English teacher. Anyway, so we're here to put our faith in the power of God, not in man-made. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in a person, but put your faith in the power of God, because only the power of God can transform your life, can deliver you, can change you, can rearrange your situation. Only the power of God is the only thing that you can bank on that will never, ever fail. Amen? So, where does your faith stand today? Is it in the philosophy, the intellectual? You know, everything that has an ism on the end usually has a spirit that's controlling it. Humanism, Marxism, socialism, communism, those are all originated in the spiritual realm to control you, to rob you, to destroy you, and to kill you. So, I'm just going to let God's power speak for itself. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 77. And then we're going to talk about an incident, actually two incidents, where God's power was manifest. Amen? Jesus never said anything he couldn't back up. And I don't care if it's impossible to you, it's not impossible to him. When Mary asked the question, how's this going to be? How am I going to have a baby not knowing a man? With God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for God? Look at your neighbor and say, nothing is too hard for God. He made the earth, the stars, and everything in it. He brought cosmos out of chaos. Nothing is too hard for God. He can do anything. But the question is, do you believe it? Do you put your faith in the power of God, or are you putting your faith in the mechanisms of men? Are you resting your salvation because you come to this church? I hope not. I'm glad that you're here. But you being here is not your ticket to salvation. It's having Jesus Christ in your heart. having a personal relationship with the living God. I have encountered too many people recently that don't have a clue about how to get to heaven, and I'm going to be sure that every week you know, anybody who comes to this place is going to know how to get to heaven. There's only one way, it's through Jesus Christ, Him alone, putting your faith in Him. You're not going to get there through any other means. There is no other Messiah. Buddha, Muhammad, they're still in the grave. But there's one whose name is Jesus, who's sitting at God's right hand. He ever lives to make intercession for you. And pardon me, but I'm a little ticked off at the enemy. He's messing with my stuff. And when the enemy messes with your stuff, I'm going to gather my servants trained in my house, and we're going to go and we're going to take back what he took. You don't mess with, look at your neighbor and say, don't mess with God's stuff. Because we have power that's far greater than the enemy could ever imagine. My God. Psalm 77, verse 14. You are the God who does wonders. You have demonstrated your power among the people. Where did he demonstrate his power? Oh, I thought he only operated in heaven. You know, some people have this view of God that he's just someone up there that I'm too little for him to be concerned about, really. He knows you. He created you. He made you for a purpose. He's got a plan for your life, and it's up to you whether or not you fulfill that plan. That plan is in place. That plan was in place long before you ever arrived on the scene, before you were ever a gleam in your father's eye and your mother's eye. God had a plan for you. You're not here by accident. You didn't just stumble in here one day. No, you are here because you have a divine appointment with destiny. This is, God brought you here so that you can literally inherit his promises and experience their benefits. I'm telling you, God daily loads us with benefits. And he wants you to experience them. He wants you to have them. He wants you to operate them. They're yours. They're yours. He does wonders among the people. He demonstrates his power among the people. You know what situation God likes best? When his back is against the wall and the deck stacked against him, that God says, oh, I like that. That's where I thrive. Just ask Moses, who stood before a Red Sea and the Egyptian army. He was in between a rock and a hard place. What are you going to do now, Moses? The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. What you got in your hand? Oh, I got this stick. Raise it up. God parted the Red Sea. No human on earth could have ever thought that that would have been done. But Psalm said he had a way that was provided that no one knew, but he kept it hidden, and until the time that you needed it, that's when he revealed it. Moses got out of that situation. God split the Red Sea, and 2 to 3 million people walked on dry ground. You know, recently you might have saw the movie The Ten Commandments, and they've got the walls of water. Someone did a study with the Army Corps of Engineers. They would have had to have a span of 5 miles wide to get all those people across in one day. Come on now. Nothing is too hard for God. And he wants your faith to be in his power, not in men. Listen, I'm just a messenger. I'm a middleman. I'm not a healer, but I know the healer. And he'll use me. He'll use you. You know, he wants you to be a vessel of honor, meet for his use, prepared unto every good work. You know, God's got good works for you. But he needs you to be prepared. God will never send you anywhere unprepared. Before Elisha stepped into the office of prophet, he trained with Elijah for, I don't know, a long period of time. How'd you like to be Elisha? Elijah just had his biggest loss after his greatest victory. And he had the biggest pity party as he sat by the cave, and God said, what are you doing here? He took God's food and ran in the wrong direction. He says, woe is me, I'm the only one. Excuse me, Elijah, I got 7,000. What are you talking about, 7,000? I got 7,000 that didn't bow my knee. You're not alone. But Elijah couldn't get over that loss. And it was there that God said, anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. Did you know that Elijah cut his ministry shorter than what God wanted it to be done? You know, there's never a time when you can just put it on cruise control and coast through Christianity. Moses, in the latter part of his ministry, and I don't even know why I'm going here, but the Lord knows. Moses, in his latter part of ministry, God said, I want you to speak to the rock, because they needed water. He says, I want you to bring the elders before. See, because God likes to demonstrate his power among people. Did you know that you are a beneficiary of God's power because you're a person? You're a candidate. And God doesn't have a welfare system. He makes you an heir. He has already included you in his will. Now, if you're feeling unimportant, that ought to change that real quick. God himself included you in his will. Anyway, Moses was told, I want you to get the elders here and I want you to speak to the rock. Prior to that, same situation, he was told to strike the rock with his rod and then water came out. But in this case, God said, I want you to speak to the rock. Well, Israel was complaining because Moses pastored, he could have called it the first church of the whiny babies. I mean, every day Moses encountered complainers and whiners and murmurers and grumblers. Say, look at your neighbor and say, I'm not one of them. And out of anger, Moses struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. This was in the latter part of his ministry now. My point is, you can't just put the cruise control on and coast through Christianity. What happened when Moses struck the rock? When he disobeyed an instruction from God, he was disqualified from going into the promised land. But I thought Moses was so great. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest on your achievements. Don't rest on your talents. Don't rest on your abilities, but rest on the power of God. And just do what the power of God says to do. Moses was disqualified. All he could do was climb a mountain and look, but he could not enter in the promised land. That wasn't God's original plan. Moses, he let anger take control. And he acted on that and it disqualified him. So you cannot just put the cruise control on. You can't put it on autopilot. Christianity is not automatic. It's about you making choices and decisions every day. It's about you dying to self every day. It's about putting the body under every day. Say every day. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 20. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You know, I could get up here and I could say nothing or do nothing if the Lord told me to do that, and I could just stand here and he could just do it. You know, one time when I was in Tennessee, they, at that time, the church there was having Holy Ghost meetings. And the pastor would spend more time in prayer. He was an excellent teacher, but he would spend more time in prayer and he would just kind of do whatever the Holy Ghost wanted to do. And so different things occurred each of those times we met. You know, the Lord laid it on his heart to have these Holy Ghost meetings for a while. Well, he called me up one day. I mean, he called me from my seat and he asked me to read a scripture. And I got the Bible, I could see the words, and I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I was like, I could see it, but I tried about five times. I opened my mouth and nothing came out. It's the kingdom of God is not about, it's not about our outward appearance. You know, people wear a lot of masks. They put on their game face. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing wonderful. But inside, they're not. So, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. It's in demonstration. It comes from within, not from without. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of Thessalonica, of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me read that in the Amplified. For our preaching of the glad tidings, or the gospel, came to you not only in word, but also in its own inherent power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with great conviction and absolute certainty on our part. You know what kind of men we proved ourselves to be among you for your good. You know, the gospel is all about what you do with it. It's not about whether or not you memorize it, although you should, but it's about what are you doing with the message. How is the message of the gospel changing your life? That's where you connect with the power of God and you begin to change things that went awry before. You connect with God's power. Amen. If you've been changed by God, raise your hand. Hallelujah. You don't do what you used to do anymore. Thank God. He delivered you from that. He set you free because you connected, you put your faith in the power of God. And when that message touched your heart, something triggered on the inside of you. Your inside was crying out, take hold of it, take hold of it, take hold of it. And when you did, he did, and that was it. The rest is history. Now, there's still pages of your book to be written. Your book is not finished yet. Jesus is the author and the finisher, but who fills in the middle? You. You still got pages to write. What's going to be written about you when you come to the end of your life? What kind of heritage of faith are you leaving for the next generation? What are you doing? You just sit at home and don't do anything? You just sit at home and never do your purpose? What do you think God's going to think about that when you get to the end? Oh, Lord, I didn't feel like it. I didn't have time. I just wasn't into it. You think that's going to go over with the Lord? He's given you a divine purpose. And what you do with it will make a difference for eternity. So we better start doing something with it now. Amen? If there's things in your life that are hindering your walk with God, you have the power to change it. You put your faith in the power of God. Cry out to God. I want to read this story. I'm not going to read all of it because it's kind of long, but I'm going to give you the highlights. All right, this is from a book called The Power of Crying Out. And this guy named Sherman, he was on his way to church. And he pulled up into a grocery store, and he had a 7-year-old daughter with him. And a guy walked up and said and asked him if he could help jump his car. And Sherman, he fretted for a moment because he was worrying about being late for church. But he decided, he chided himself for thinking that over helping someone. All right? So he invited the guy into his car, and they hadn't gone far when the guy pulled out a revolver and stuck it in Sherman's chest. And he said, give me all your money right now, or I'm going to unload this gun on you. Of course, Sherman was terrified, and he was mad at himself for putting his daughter in danger. And he pulled out his money clip, and he said, take it all. But the guy didn't believe him because Sherman was an insurance agent, and he had a box full of Gideon Bibles, and he would put a dollar in each Bible and give them to the homeless. So the guy saw one of those dollars sticking out. He said, that's not all. Give it to me all right? And the guy said, you lied to me. There is more money here. Something came over Sherman just then. And he began to pray out loud. Say out loud. He's now putting his faith in the power of God. All right? He said, Father in heaven, hear my cry and deliver me from this present evil. He felt a sudden calm. I lost all consciousness of concern and worry. He said, a boldness took over. He slowed the car and began to make a U-turn. The gunman screamed, what are you doing? This car is being turned around, Sherman replied, and I am not taking orders from you anymore. He's talking to the guy who's pointing the gun at him. You want to talk about putting your faith in the power of God? The man put the gun against Sherman's chest. You don't get it, man. You mean nothing to me. I'll pull this trigger. No, you don't understand, Sherman interrupted him. He cut him off. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Jesus is stronger than your gun. Oh, it gets better. He could see the gunman tug on the trigger. The hammer drew back, but Sherman didn't flinch. He pulled over and stopped. I want to tell you about Jesus, he said to the gunman. The man wavered for a moment, lowered his gun, and then dropped his head. When he looked up, he was crying. And the guy with the gun said, I'm sorry, man. I was going to shoot you. Sherman said, don't worry about it. I forgive you. Okay? You want to talk about tapping into the power of God? Sherman urged the man to go to church with him, but the man declined. He asked him to drive his car back to the store. Along the way, this man told Sherman about his problems. And as they got to where they were, Sherman said, and by the way, Mike, I want my money clip back. And the guy said, do what? But then he handed it over. And Sherman went on, you're keeping this New Testament and you're going to read it like you never read anything else before. And I'm going to be praying for you. And the guy's name was Mike. That God will come into your life. And this guy ended up getting arrested. And they had 15 incidents of the same type. And but when he was arrested, this guy was in regular contact with Sherman. You want to talk about putting your faith in the power of God? When someone's got a gun to your chest, that man cried out to God, and God heard his cry. A boldness came over him. He told the gunman, he said, I'm not taking orders from you anymore. See, when you cry out to God, when you tap into the power and you put your faith in the power of God, God's going to be right there to help you. But so many times, that's not what we do because that's not what we're in the habit of doing. We're in the habit of being frantic. We're in the habit of worrying because we've been frantic and worried for so long that it becomes a natural habit. It's time to break that habit. It's time to cry out for the power of God to come in. Say, Lord, deliver me from this habit. You know what? And God will. I'll give you an example. Jesus was hung between two thieves. One thief mocked him. The other said, hey man, this man didn't do anything, but we did. We deserve this. He doesn't. Jesus looked at him. He said, today you're going to, or the thief said, remember me. He cried out. He tapped into the power of God. He's hanging on a cross. He can't get off the cross, but yet he can still speak. He made a verbal enunciation. He connected verbally with God. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Those words caused the power of God to transform that thief. And he took him from hell to heaven in one moment. Because the power of God is for people. Look at your candidate and say, you're a candidate for the, or look at your neighbor and say, you're a candidate for the power of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, something's brewing. You know, when you boil water on the stove, and you know it's about ready when those bubbles start popping. And the quicker they start popping, you know, ooh, it's ready. The water's ready. Guess what? The bubbles are popping. The bubbles are popping. Boop, 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 boop. The water's ready. And what happens? You put that egg in that boiling water, and in just a few minutes, that power transforms that egg from a liquid to a solid, if that's what you want to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Now this is powerful, and I'm reading it from the Amplified. And so that you can know and understand, say, know and understand. How many want to know and understand the power? Ooh. You can know it, you can experience it, but you can understand it. Why is it important to understand the power so that you can help others? Isn't it much easier to drive a car when you understand how it works? When you understand where the steering wheel is, where the gas is, where the brake is, and what the purpose of each is for, you don't want to hit the brake when you want to go, and you don't want to go when you want to hit the brake. Understanding makes the operation of that vehicle easier. You can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power. Ooh, yeah, that is a touchdown, a three-point play, a home run, crossing the finish line of a race. Amen. Of His power, and for us, in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred. Does that mean He's greater than cancer? Does that mean He's greater than lack? Does that mean He's greater than poverty? He's above every name that is named, right? And we can know and we can understand this resurrection power. He said in Romans, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, notice the same Spirit. If you have the same Spirit, you have the same power. You have the same ability. You have the same anointing. You have the same unction within you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, how does He get in you? Through invitation. He comes by invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and I will fellowship with him. I will sup with him and he will sup with me. How many times does Jesus have to stand knocking at your door before you open it? Pretty soon his knuckles get tired. Put yourself in his shoes. Amen? You keep knocking and knocking and knocking and no one's letting you in. You can know and understand the... let me read these adjectives again. I get excited about adjectives. You know why? Because one time when I worked at a Blockbuster, I was adjective man. People would, you know, we always had to greet people as they come in. Hello, how you doing? But when I was checking them out, I'd say, have a wonderful, fantastic, outstanding, excellent evening. They'd be like, huh? And I said, don't settle for anything less. I used to do that. I'd freak people out too. They'd be like, whoa, man. So I've toned it down on the adjectives a little bit, but I still love adjectives. And God doesn't use adjectives lightly. Now listen to the kind of power that you can know and understand. All right? It is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in and for us. Say, for me, who believe. All it takes is for you believing, putting your faith in that power, for that power to get on you, to come through you. Isn't that awesome? All you got to do is connect to that power through faith. Faith is like your truck, the semi-truck, and you back up, you know, and you connect to that trailer, you go clunk, and you hear, and once that trailer is connected, wherever you go, that trailer's going with you. Come on now, when you connect to the power of God, that power of God is going to go with you wherever you go. Come on. And it'll take wherever you want to unload the power, you just back it up, you back it up, you take the power off, you make a transfer. Amen. How do you make a transfer? Through the laying on of hands, through speaking the word, through prayer, through worship. You make a transfer of the power of God. I don't know why I'm so excited, but it feels good. I'm telling you, the power of God is here. The immeasurable, surpassing, unlimited greatness of his power. That you can know and understand. You want to go call your unsaved friends and tell them that you're a divine power technician. You work for a different type of power company called the Holy Ghost JC Power. Holy Ghost Power Company. Where do you have your lines? Oh, I have it right in here. I'm wired for that power. Woo, glory to God. You're wired. You work for the Holy Ghost Power Company. Come on. Hallelujah. And if you read someone's meter and that meter shows low, you can give them a dose of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Woo. I know I'm preaching myself happy. My goodness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I just got to take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Whoo. Well, you can get free if you want to, or you can just sit there like a frog on a log. Now, where was I? Go with me to Zechariah. And I got to get to these examples here. Zechariah. Be careful turning to Zechariah. There might be dust on these pages. That just means we got to visit the minor prophets a little bit more. Amen? I'm going to give you a recipe for making mountains into molehills. All right? You ready to make a molehill cake? I'm going to give you a recipe. Then he answered me and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, don't add might or your man-made strength, your position, your prominence, okay? Don't add your power, your ability. But the only thing you need to add to make a mountain to a molehill is the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Notice what he says. Says the Lord of hosts, who art thou, O great mountain, verse 7, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. Oh my gosh. Jesus said, speak unto this mountain, command it to be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, you can have whatsoever you say. Say, I can have whatever I say. So if you want to change what you have, you got to change what you say. Because you can have what you say, positive or negative. So when you just add the Holy Ghost, you become an earth mover. You get into a caterpillar tractor, and you be, I can't even do a tractor. And you get in, you begin to push that mountain. What's a mountain? It's an obstacle. It's a hindrance. It's something that stands in your way from God's blessing. It's the walls of Jericho. It's the River Jordan. It's the den of lions. It's the fiery furnace. Whatever stands in your way, you can speak to it. You can access the power of God when you just add the Holy Spirit to your life. You become a mountain mover, not a mountain climber. A mountain mover. Who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Whew! It doesn't take a whole lot to add the Spirit of God to your life so that you can operate the power. Go with me to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, my goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor's fired up today. I don't apologize. Anytime you talk, if you're going to speak a message on the power and you're not fired up, there's a problem. You better go back to you better go get a double dip or something. You're missing something. You better go back and supersize it. 1 Kings 18. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You know that we are in a time where we need some spiritual rain. We need some rain in this place. We need showers of heaven to come down. We need God's mercy to fall down. We need his power. You know, he inhabits the praises. As the praises go up, his glory comes down. Guess what? Elijah's here to declare rain. No more dry season. No more famine. No more crop destruction. Say the waters are on their way. Oh, and we just, as believers, you got to learn how to play in the rain. It's okay to play in the rain, splash around, get wet, get it all over. Play in the rain. Look at your neighbor and say, play in the rain. You don't need an umbrella for this type of rain. You want it to saturate you. Oh, come on now. You need the rain to saturate you. How did this famine come about? Because there was a wicked king by the name of Ahab. He was connected with a woman named Jezebel, who was, I got to read you something about Jezebel. Listen to this. Jezebel was a heathen princess. It was the first time that a king from Israel married a heathen princess. She represented all that is scheming, deceitful, manipulative, crafty, malicious, revengeful, and cruel. Hey, honey, how are you? She was a tyrant. She instigated persecution against God's people. She was guided by no principle, restrained by no fear of God or man. She was wicked. She was passionate in her pursuit of heathen worship. She was an idolater. She led the nation of Israel into idolatry. She had 450 false prophets that she fed at her table. And this is the woman whom Ahab married. This was the cause of the famine. Anybody who disregards God's commands, he will shut up the rain from heaven. He will cause the rain to stop flowing. You will not prosper. You will not flourish if you're not doing what God said to do. This is the situation that Elijah, and God sent him away for 3 years. He hid by the brook, and then he would spend some time in Zarephath. And now he's on the scene. He's come to do a demonstration. How many has ever been to a grocery store and they're selling you the Ginsu knife where it chops through cans or whatever, and they're doing this demonstration as to what this thing can do? Elijah was about to, he was commissioned by God. He was sent to Israel to do a demonstration of a different type. Come on now. Oh my goodness. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab, I'm not going to read all this. There was a guy who worked for Ahab. His name was Obadiah. He hid 100 prophets. He took turns by hiding them in a cave, and he fed them bread and water because Jezebel sent out an order to kill every prophet of God. Did you know that there's an enemy that will kill the prophetic voice in your life? There's enemies that have been trying to stop and quench the prophetic voice that goes from this place in the name of Jesus. There are Baals that we're facing today. Oh yeah, they're having their little gatherings. They're worshiping their idols, but they're Baal and Ashtaroth. False. So Ahab and Obadiah, they were looking for places for grass to feed their livestock. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Elijah shows up and he sees Obadiah. And Obadiah says, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he said, "It is I." He said, "Go tell Ahab that I want to see him." He said, "I'm not going to do that because the Spirit of God is going to take you away. And I'm not going to know where you are, and I'm going to look foolish." And Elijah said, he said, "I will surely show myself," verse 15, "I will surely show myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now Ahab was the king, and he was influenced by the wrong voice. Come on now. Ahab was led astray by listening to the wrong voice. You better check out which voice you're listening to. You better check out which Walkman is playing in your head, which iPod is playing in your head. And you better download some fresh material from heaven. So, verse 17, Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab said to him, "Are you he who troubles Israel?" Now, Ahab knew better. You talk about deceived. It was not Elijah who did not obey the command of the Lord. It was Ahab. He's blaming Elijah. And look at what Elijah says. Elijah replied, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have. You and your father's house by forsaking the commandments of the Lord and by following the Baals." Verse 19. "Therefore, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount..." Who did he invite? He invited everybody. You know there's no party like a Holy Ghost party? Oh, come on now. What was he about to do? He was about to demonstrate the power of God. He was about to show them the one size fits all, never wears out, the power of God. All you got to do is connect to it by faith. He said, "Gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at the Queen Jezebel's table." 850 false prophets she's supporting. God is about to change your dinner plans. Ha. And so Elijah, verse 21, he came near to all the people and said, "How long will you halt and limp between two opinions?" You know, a double-minded man never receives anything from the Lord. James tells us not to be double-minded, to have two minds. They had two opinions. "If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." And the people did not answer a word, because they were about to do a demonstration. And Elijah said to the people, "I only remain the prophet of the Lord. But the Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah was a little bit mistaken there. Because what about the 100 that Obadiah hid? And Obadiah told Elijah this. Anyway, he tells them to get a bull. He tells them to build an altar. He said, you get a bull for you. I'm going to get a bull for me. But I'm not going to put any fire on my altar. See, they had ways of making fire, so the prophets of Baal gather together and they're doing their thing. They're doing their chant. They're doing their dance and nothing. Guess what? Idols don't speak. Idols can't hear. They can't talk. They have no means of communicating to you. They're worshiping an idol that they made. Come on. Man-made. Don't put your faith in the wisdom of man, but the power of God. And the Living Bible, man, Elijah gives it to him hard. The Living Bible says, where's your God? Is he out? Is he out on vacation? Is he on the toilet? You better go get him. That's what the Living Bible says. Elijah mocked them. They did this all day long. And nothing, not one word from an idol. Hello? These people were serious about worshiping an idol. They were cutting themselves. They were doing all kinds of things. Idolatry will make you an idiot. Check on your life. See what kind of idols you have. Anything that takes place above God and that you spend more time with than God is an idol. Whether it's a person, a thing, a position, if there's anything that takes precedent in your life over God, it's an idol, and you're in danger of losing that thing. I am the Lord God. Worship Him alone. It's quiet in here. Today is an idol-breaking day. Idols are mountains that need to be made molehills. You can't have an idol and you can't worship God at the same time. You got to pick one. If your idol is God, then just worship Him. Let your idol provide for you. Let your idol heal you. Let your idol touch you. You'll find that it won't. It's a dead end. So then it was Elijah's turn. And he sets up the altar. He rebuilds the altar. He rebuilt a relationship with God. He began to worship God in the right way, how God wanted him to worship. He rebuilt the altar. Sometimes we need to go back in our homes and we need to rebuild the altar. We need to go back in our lives and we need to rebuild the altar. We need to come to that place where we first met God. We need to get back the zeal and the energy when we first met God, how excited we were. What happened? You lost your luster. You know, when we became pastors here, Fiona and I, you're so blessed to have two wonderful a husband and wife team. Now, when it comes to decisions, I make the final decision, but Fiona's a pastor too, amen? And let me tell you something, that's been attacked by the Baals over years. And I'm standing against it right now. I'm building an altar. And we're going to tear the Baals down. Anyway, you have to go back to regain that zeal and that love. You know what God told one church? You've left your first love. There's a lot of Christians who left their first love. Come on now. Those of you that have been involved in relationship, what's the relationship like when you first get together? Oh, I'm on cloud nine. You lose track of time. You do foolish things. But then we just kind of fall into the humdrum of life and we lose that luster. But you know what? We do the same thing with the Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. You're awesome. God, I don't know. I can't do this, man. I don't know. Come back to your first love. Let Jesus consume your life. Come back. If you're still thinking about it, you haven't gone too far. There's still an opportunity to make it right with God. So So Elijah built the altar. He doused it with water. And he made this statement. He said, the God who answers by fire, he is God alone. And notice what he did. Verse 32, and with the stones, Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order. Guess what? He started to prioritize his life. He started to put things in order. Come on, when something is going wrong in your life, it's not God, it's us. It's up to us to start to put things in order. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Anytime that God becomes second or third, problems start to multiply. You got to get back to seeking him first. And he cut the bull in pieces. He made a sacrifice. He made an offering. And he laid the wood and said, he asked for the water. Second time. Third time. And the water was, it almost became a flood scene. He doused so much water on it. Verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Whoo! The God of Victory Christian Fellowship. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Victory Christian Fellowship, and Palmyra. Let me tell you something. I am determined to carry out what God established this place for here. And if I got to take on the prophets of Baal, so be it. I'm ready. Bring it on. Because I'm putting my faith in the power of God, not in me. Not in my ability, in God, in his word, in his Holy Spirit. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you, the Lord, are God, and have turned their hearts back. See, God, he needed a fire to purify. The Baals were like a disease. He needed a fire to come in and to purify, to purge out. You know, when a forest fire burns, it makes way for new growth. So we need rain and we need the fire. A cloud by day and a fire by night. We need rain in the day and a fire at the nighttime. Come on, I'm lighting a fire under you today. I'm igniting a passion within you to get back to the basics, to get back to what's important. We're in the fourth quarter. We can't be messing around with things that are going to take our focus off the Lord, off what he's called us to do. Each one of us are going to stand before the Lord God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Every one of us will stand by ourselves. We will have to give an account for our life, what we did on this earth with what God gave us. Are you ready? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and also licked up the water that was in the trench. I'll tell you what, when the God's power will come on the scene, it'll wipe the enemy out. It'll wipe every residue of the enemy. He will totally set you free. You won't even think of the prison you were in before. My God, my God. And when the people saw it, notice, God loves to manifest himself among people. Elijah said, come on, come on, gather on the altar. Come on, I'm not afraid. Last week I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed to let God demonstrate his power. He put his faith in the power of God, not in him. He didn't get up there and give a speech. It wasn't time for a speech. It was a time for a demonstration. He said a prayer. He put some things in order and said a prayer. That's all he did. He did not give an eloquent speech. We don't need an eloquent speech that has no substance. We don't need no cotton candy talkers. We need some substance. We need some revelation knowledge. We need some power. We need some things inputted into us that can change us. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." See, God loves to demonstrate Himself because He wants to receive the glory. He wants to receive the honor. There was no way, physically impossible, that a fire could come out of all that water unless it came from God. And Elijah said, "Seize the prophets of Baal and let not one escape." It's time to slay the prophets of Baal. It's time to slay the voices that have led us astray. It's time to shut their mouth once and for all. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every Baal and Ashtaroth, and I command you to shut your mouth in Jesus' name. And Elijah brought them down as God's law required and slew them there. And then he said, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." After the fire comes, you can play in the rain, because that new growth is going to need water. Those things that have budded up from the fire, they're going to need water to grow. Those people that have been purged through the fire, the ones that remain are going to need water to grow. Oh, and we need to get saturated and soaked with the Holy Spirit. So I said that all to say this: don't put your faith in any man-made mechanism, but you can put your faith in the power of God. How do you do that? You cry out to God when in need. When you realize you can't do something, and guess what? That should be with everything. We're not adequate to do anything. But, oh, I put my trust in God. I lean not to my own understanding, but I acknowledge Him in all my ways, and He will surely direct my path. See, when you begin to acknowledge Him, when you begin to put your trust in Him, you'll find that trust in yourself just doesn't work. Doing the things the way you used to do them doesn't work. It's time to change. I'm calling you to change right now in Jesus' name. You've been held with two opinions. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? If you keep doing that, you're not going to make any decision. Let me help you. Stay. Get planted. Flourish in the courts of God. You only flourish where He plants you. Amen? And if you're here today and you need the power of God in your life, His power is available to you. His Holy Ghost power. After the resurrection came the power of Pentecost. And Sunday in May, we're going to celebrate the day of Pentecost, which occurred 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. I forget the exact date in May, but it's coming up. And we're going to have another Holy Ghost party. That might be the title of my sermon. Come to the Holy Ghost party. Amen? If you're here today and you need power for living, God's got power for you. I want to just invite you to come and get all of that God wants you to have. Come and put your faith in His power. If you need power to live the life that He's called you to live, if you need power to change, His power is here. His power is available to you. He will not leave you empty-handed. Amen? Everybody who came up today, this morning, did you get something? Then God's still not done dishing out. He's an awesome dispenser. So I want to ask you, if you need power in your life, I want to invite you to come up for prayer right now, and God is just going to give power to you. He's going to infuse strength to you. Those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. That sounds to me like getting more power. Whoo, man, my battery's low. You come into church. You're burdened. You got all these cares stacked up on your shoulder, and you realize that you can't carry them. But when you unload it onto Jesus, whoo, boy, that feels a whole lot better. You're not going to make God nervous. He was designed to carry your load. So if you need some power in your life, come up here right now in Jesus' name. God wants to give you some power. If any of you lack power to do what you need to do, come now in Jesus' name. Come with the attitude of receiving. Make up your mind. Say, I'm going to get what I need. Oh, yeah. in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're going to get it in a good way.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Today is a receiving day. All those who are up here, say this with me. Say, I am a receiver. I've come to get what I need, and I'm not going to leave empty-handed in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, right now, I just give you thanks and praise, Lord, that there's going to be a transfer of your power. Father, your fire is going to come down from heaven, and you're going to touch these that have come up here in faith, and they're not going to go empty-handed, Father, because they've come to put their faith in the power of God in Jesus' name right now. Receive the power right now in Jesus' name. Receive the power right now in Jesus' name. Receive the power right now in Jesus' name. Receive. Shoo! Fresh touch. Fresh touch. Receive right now in Jesus' name. Ooh, he's pouring it on you. Shoo, like a fire hose. Shoo. Father, right now in Jesus' name, receive the power of God. Hallelujah. Break every stronghold. Break every stronghold. Oh, freedom. I declare you to be free in Jesus' name. He's come to set the captive free. He's come to bind up your wounds and heal the brokenhearted. He's come to touch you because he loves you. Fill her up right now, Father. Fill her up full with your power in Jesus' name. Shh. In Jesus' name. Shh. Hallelujah. Right now. Shh. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you're thirsty, he said, come and drink and you'll be full. It's a well that never runs dry. Shh. Oh, Father, just let her up. Let it roll. Let it roll right now, Father. Fill her up. Fill her up in Jesus' name. Touch her with your power. Power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for touching these. Thank you, Lord, for infusing them with your power and your might right now in Jesus' name. Renewing their strength. Renewed strength. Oh, that's new strength. It's like putting a new coat of paint on the wall in Jesus' name. It's brand new. Huh? Yeah, it covers. Oh, yeah, yeah. It covers. It covers. Ha! Huh. You can't see the marks on the wall anymore because they're covered. Yeah. Renewed strength. Oh, yeah. Get ready to mount up with wings of eagles. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. Ha! Huh. Father, right now, Lord, let the strength that came upon Gideon to come upon Mike right now in Jesus' name. Mighty man of valor. I declare you to be a mighty man of valor, of courage, of strength, of honor. Oh, hallelujah. To go out and do great exploits in Jesus' name. Shh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See what Gideon did? He first tore down the idols. He tore down the groves that they had. Father, I thank you right now that you anoint him with the strength and the power and the wisdom that you gave to Gideon, Father. It's not by might, it's not my power, but it's by your spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Someone say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You glad you came today?
Yes.
I'm glad I came too. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun. Glory to God. Well, you can go in God's strength, go in his power, and